This is
Fight Disciples.
Welcome to podcast number 484. We are the Fight Disciples, and this is all about MMA, mainly UFC, but we do talk about some other stuff, especially with the Bellator guys getting underway on the BBC iPlayer at the weekend. We'll be talking about that extensively throughout the course of the show. If it's the first time you've ever come to us, listen, don't be shy. It's all right. You can come in. You can have a little bit of a taste, but don't be just booty calling us every now and again. We want a full relationship. We want you to take us out for dinner every now. All right? So get yourself on iTunes. Have a little bit of a look for Fight Disciples. Hit subscribe. And if you're feeling really generous, write us a 5-star review because it helps with the visibility in the charts as well. If you need an Android feed, Google Play, Spotify, anything like that, it's all on our website, fightdisciples.com, as is our social media and our YouTube. Loads of stuff going up there. I'm trying my best, by the way, Nick. I ain't told you this. Trying my best to get a little bit of a sit down with Mike Perry this week, who's in action at the weekend. So hopefully Mike Perry's going to feature on our YouTube channel. So subscribe there and hopefully Mike Perry will turn up and we'll have a little bit of a chat. Fingers crossed that materialises. Now, there was no action at the weekend in the world of UFC. There's Bellator stuff, of which we're going to talk about in a minute. But I'm looking at all the talking points I've got written down here for the UFC. And there's more talking points than ever. Even though there's no action to review from the weekend, there's so much to talk about. We've got guys getting signed, guys out of fights, crazy fights being made, super fights being made, tough, and the guys that are going to be battling it out on there. You've got heavyweights that are talking about dollars. Oh, my days, mate. Where do you want to start, actually? Shall we start with Bellator? Something unusual for us. Do you want to start with Bellator and a review of the fights? Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, why not? Listen. Again, in the past, been very harsh on the old Bellator boys with some of the matchmaking and various things like that. But there's no disputing at the weekend that the greatest Bellator fighter of all time, and I'm not using that lightly, the greatest Bellator fighter of all time was in action. And do not underestimate the performance that Patricio Pitbull Ferreira put in, right? Because in the original between these two, they went life and death. They went life and death. I think it was in the Middle East somewhere, weren't it? They went life and death and levered the bloody living daylights out of each other, and Pitbull just had his hand raised. The way that he went about that at the weekend in the main event was sensational. He is, without any shadow of a doubt, the best Bellator fighter that we've seen. And the fight that is now set up between him and McKee, which is the final of this Grand Prix tournament that Bellator have got running, is mouthwatering. Yep. It is must not miss. Now, I know that you'll listen to this show if you're a regular and you'll know these lads only wax lyrical about UFC. Nothing else bloody hell goes on. Well, listen, when something really does go on, we do wax lyrical about it. We spoke highly about Cage Warriors a couple of weeks ago. We do chip into one championship every now and again. If KSW are doing something decent in Europe, we give you a little bit of a heads up on it. I'm telling you now, that is a super fight between Pitbull and McKee. We ain't got a date finalised for that final as of yet, but when we do get it, trust me, I will not shut up about it until the fight happens because it's an absolute belter. Really good fight.
Yeah.
And again, Pitbull was mint.
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I mean, it's the Europa League final. And the Europa League final throws up fucking good fights. So that's what it is.
There he is.
Nothing more.
There he is.
I thought Emmanuel Sanchez looked poor, to be honest with you, for Patricio. Smashed them to bits. Listen, it is what it is, man. I can't get too carried away about Bellator because for me, it's a similar standard to Cage Warriors.
Mm.
It's a feeder league for the UFC. I think Pitbull to ever get the exactly what we're seeing now with Michael Chandler.
Michael Chandler was
Pitbull before Pitbull. He was the poster boy. He was the greatest Bellator fighter. He was the guy that was doing it and this and that. Yeah,
Pitbull
he did.
Took care of him.
He did. I give you that. And now Michael Chandler's come over to the UFC. One fight in, he's fighting for the UFC title. So
yeah, that's fair enough.
The burning question on Pitbull will always be, until he does it, exactly what Michael Chandler confessed to us.
Mm.
Every time you would speak to somebody and say, I'm the Bellator champion, I'm the poster boy of Bellator, I'm this and that. Anybody who's not heavily involved in MMA would say the same thing to him. Does that mean you'll get signed by the UFC? Does that mean you'll ever be? Will you ever be in the UFC? And until Pitbull unfortunately moves to the Champions League, we'll never know how good he is. He could be the best featherweight on the planet. He truly could be the best featherweight on the planet. But until he moves, we just won't know. That was a clinical performance. He did smash Sanchez to bits. Did I think that was going to happen before the fight? Yes, it did. Yes, it did. Because since their last fight, Pitbull has reigned at the top of that weight division and Sanchez has gone down to a different level of opponent. So yeah.
Okay. Usman Nurmagomedov then. Let's talk about him. This is a Nurmagomedov that is next level striking, man. You know what I mean? We know that they can wrestle bears. We know that they can do single and double legs and dump you on your ass and give you a real good hiding when they're sat on top of you. But on the feet, Jesus Christ, man. Who's this dude? Who is this guy? He's a problem, mate. He's a problem for everybody in that weight category.
Yes, he looked very good. Very good. And as you say, anyone with that surname, with those kind of hands, is a fucking legit problem for anybody. Because what you do with him? What the fuck do you do with him? Because you can't box. You can't outbeat him on the feet.
No.
And what you want to do? Take him Nurmagomedov down? Come on.
Yeah,
come
man.
On. Jesus. Nate,
all in all, some good fights from the guys at Bellator at the weekend, of which I thoroughly enjoyed. You know that... The
main card was good, yeah.
Yes, prelim it was.
Some of the prelim fights were
they were bad matches. But there were some bad matches.
The main card was good.
Yeah, it's very good indeed. Now, if you've already listened to the boxing show, you know that I went on a bit of a chat about production, presenters, commentators, blah, 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 blah. It's there for you. Go and have a little bit of a nosy, right? What I'm about
Don't
to say...
Don't you have a go at Marlo? Don't you have a go at Marlo?
No, calm down. Calm down. Because in boxing, I've said that I will not be listening to boxing production going forward. I'm going to watch all boxing shows on mute. Total opposite with MMA. Because MMA, for me, is the gold standard of covering fight sports. I think the presenters, the pundits, they are the ones, absolutely ones, and I get full enjoyment out of all different bits of Bellator production. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought they could have used Gareth a little bit more. I think, I said on the boxing show, he's one of the very, very best. I thought they could have used him more. I thought that the BBC maybe could have used a little bit more of a BBC in-house production thing, bit more shoulder programming, blah, 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 blah. But that's just my own personal thoughts. As an evening, I enjoyed it. Maybe the gaps between the fights could have been filled with some more localized programming. I'm sure that the BBC are looking at this and they will move this thing going forward. Interesting that Bellator are going with Mauro and not Goldie. They let Goldie go, haven't they? They've released him, and it's Mauro going forward. Interesting decision.
I think it's the right decision. I'm a big fan of Mauro. I have been for a long time, and I know some insight into Mauro. There was a time there when he had a good opportunity to go with the UFC, and the problem with Mauro is that he has got some. I don't want to speak out of turn here in case I'm not exactly 100% right, but he's got a condition where he's prone to having fits.
Yeah.
And he can have some problems. And I think the UFC thought it was a bit too much of a risk because there has been some history in the past of him missing events because of medical reasons. And that's the only thing holding Mauro back.
I think he's done a documentary on it, hasn't he? I think Showtime, or whoever the broadcaster was at the time, they spoke to him extensively, and he opened up and he spoke about it extensively. So it's out there on YouTube. I think people can go and watch that, which is remarkable.
He does
for
a
the
lot
levels.
Of wrestling, does a lot of boxing, and now obviously he's the number one call guy for Bellator. I think it's a brilliant move because, you know, listening to Goldie for me feels, again, it's just another way of Bellator categorizing themselves as second rate to UFC. It's, you know, there's a lot of their marquee fighters are guys that were released by the UFC. And then to have their play-by-play guy being the guy that got released by the UFC as well. Mm. I just always felt like it wasn't the best move. And I think, you know, it's not like Goldie, it's not like the fans are falling over themselves to wear Goldie on comms because he is quite repetitive. By that I mean incredibly repetitive. And he does have his catchphrases.
Exactly.
You know, and I guarantee, you know, I've seen the work that the likes of John Gooden put in and yeah. John Anik put in, yeah, and the absolutely. Notes they make, and the fucking relentless hours they do to prep for every individual event. And I've also seen how Goldie operates, and he, let's just say, he's a little bit more old school. And I think, you know, if you've got your main guy, you've either got to bring this incredible bundle of raw and Australian energy, which I think Mauro brings, and I buzz off it, or you've got to be the diligent, the work, the stats, the numbers, the crunch, the polished professional guy. I don't think it's for your lead comms play by play. I don't think it's good enough in this day and age to just be the guy that rocks up with his cliches. And unfortunately, I think Goldie's paid the price for that. I think it's the right decision, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've got to be honest. You know, I'm not a big fan of that full comms team. I think Josh Thompson is it. I think he's probably a little bit better alongside Mauro. I don't know whether you can have an ex-referee on comms myself. I don't know whether it works, but, you know, I think an ex-fighter would be better there. And listen, I know this was a show from Connecticut, so Gareth's links were obviously done from London. But having a third voice, maybe being a bit more of a pundit type thing, more of a Joe Rogan or a, you know, a fucking Snoop Dogg or whatever, somebody like that would just give a different type of fan style voice. Whereas I think having Mauro, wow, this roaring energy, and then, you know, a referee, it's weird. I think Bellator are trying new things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they're definitely moving in the right direction. That's the main thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, the main card fight-wise was great. And I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. Like I said, there's always room for improvement with anything that anybody does. Us absolutely. It's a step in the right direction. And hopefully a few fans watched that at the weekend and started to go, I'm going to watch some more of this Bellator stuff.
Mate, I tell you what, coming up this weekend is the start of the Bellator Light Heavyweight Tournament.
Yeah.
And okay, it's a bit of a throwback, you know, UFC Legends type tournament. But you know what, mate, just enjoy it for what it is. We've got Ryan Bader versus Machida in the main event this weekend.
Yeah.
I'm fucking really looking forward to it. I think this tournament is going to be fun and I can't wait for it to play out, man.
No, absolutely. A lot of our talk recently has been about eye pokes. Yeah, with various fights finishing because of eye pokes. One way to solve the eye pokes, I suppose, is if fighters lose their fingers in the middle of a fight. So therefore, did you see it? Did you see
Jesus
it?
Jesus Christ!
Jeez, he didn't even know that it had happened. I'm referring to Kitag Pilvez, who was fighting in Cage Fury at the weekend. And he lost, if I'm just trying to hold my hands up here so I can figure it out. He lost the ring finger on his right hand, left? No, he lost his ring finger, his wedding ring finger, didn't he? No, right hand,
yeah.
Right hand, yeah. He lost the ring finger anyway. But he didn't know he'd done it. He didn't know, and when I say lost it, it totally severed. It had totally come off and fallen into his glove. He carried on fighting, and then all of a sudden it was like, where's your finger gone? they had a period of time at Cage Fury where they're looking for a finger. They're looking around the octagon, the cage, should I say, for a finger of which, hang on a minute. What's this in my glove here? It's here. So they end up going off to hospital. And listen, I'm told that everything's okay. He's had it stitched back on and it's been sorted. But as injuries go, I've never seen anything like that, mate. It's one way to cure eye pokes, I suppose, isn't it?
The weird thing is, from what I've seen, and I only seen a short clip before, obviously, in the highlights, I didn't see the full fight. I couldn't find it anywhere. But at no point did I see him, like, interlock his fingers in the cage and get pulled. Because my immediate thought was, oh, shit, he's grabbed the cage. And his finger somehow has got interlocked in, you know, maybe the cage webbing is smaller holes than maybe what the UFC use or whatever it may be. More of like a chicken wire fence. And as he's locked his fingers, he's been taken down and one of his fingers has got caught. That was my immediate thought. But I didn't see anything like that in the footage. I didn't see anything. I didn't see anything like that in the reports on the various websites that I looked at, that his finger got caught in the fence and that's how he got ripped off. So then you're like, how the fuck does a finger just fall off? Do you know what I mean? What, is he dead? Is he a zombie? So I can only imagine he must have gone into the fight with some kind of injured fingers don't fall off, do they? You know, I'm nearly 40 and my fingers have never fell off. That's just the way it is. And I've done loads of stuff with my fingers. I've put them in places that I don't dare to dream back about. I've never had a finger fall off.
And they've all come out. They've always come out. They've always been on my hand.
Never had the finger fall off. So it was a really, really strange scenario. Loads of, like, the Guardian picked it up and everything. And I'm like, man, this is such a weird conversation to have, because from the outside looking in, you're like, fucking hell, how mad is that sport? People losing their fingers. This doesn't happen regularly. It's a completely freak accident. And I've got literally got no explanation for it. How the fuck does a finger fall off? Weird.
Yeah, madness, mate. Absolute fucking madness. Right, pick a number between 1 and 6.
7. Oh, 1 and 6. Okay, 3. All day level maths kicking in there.
Unbelievable. What did you say? What was your second one?
3.
Right, here we go. Leon Edwards, Nate Diaz, UFC 262. Jesus.
Bada boom, bada boom.
Didn't see this coming at all, mate. And with all, I text and speak to Leon regularly. We're just always having a little bit of a crack, talking about various bits, trying to book him for an interview that he never turns up for, all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? And the last time I spoke to him, I remember talking about various opponents in the build-up to Bilal. I said, listen, you come through Bilal. Next fight's got to be a world title eliminator. Who are we talking about? We're talking Colby. We're talking Wonderboy. We're talking all these names. And I remember saying to him, Nate Diaz. And he goes, Nate Diaz will never fight me. Blah, 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 blah. He just chats this. He only wants to fight lightweights at welterweight. Blah, 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 blah. And he went on and on and on and on. And that was it. In my head, that was it. Never thought anything more of it. Moved away. And I think that was it for the majority of people in the whole world. This week, when it drops, Leon Edwards has got a fight. Right, come on, please, please. Colby said yes, or Wonderboy. Yeah. They've made Wonderboy and they've said it's a world title eliminator and they're going to stick it on the Usman and Masvidal undercard. That's what they're going to do. No, mate, he's going to fight Nate Diaz. Eh? Eh? What? Did you just say Nate Diaz? Yeah, I said Nate Diaz. This is, out of all the golden scenarios that Leon Edwards could have wished for, this is the ultimate. This is the cherry on top of all the cakes. He has literally just gone, I've spent 18 months in the wilderness getting fucking pissed off and frustrated watching this division pass by, and this is the reason why. This is it. This is the moment. This is it, man. This is going to be the most amount of money, I'm guessing, that he's ever been paid by the UFC. And it's a fight that is more than winnable. No disrespect to Nate Diaz. As rounded mixed martial artists go, Leon Edwards ain't no joke. Nate's durable and he'll be there, but I think he's absolutely made for Leon to look good and look mustard and have that coming out party with the American audience to go, oh, Nate Diaz is fighting, the badass is fighting. Yeah, who's he fighting? Some English guy? Fuck that English guy. We're going to fuck that English guy up. English guy turns up and absolutely smokes him. Yeah. What? Who the fuck's the English guy? Well, the English guy is that guy that did 3 pieces in a soda with Masvidal, yeah? Fucking deal me in. Get him in with Usman. That's what this is, mate. That's what this is right now. UFC 262. Boom!
Yeah, for a long time, and I know we've got 6 other news headlines to get through, so I'll be sure, but for a long time, over the last 18 months, there was one stage, let's be honest. We were having a beer on Fight Island. Leon had just been pulled out of the rankings altogether because the UFC were frustrated. He didn't want to take fights. Leon was frustrated because he wasn't getting offered the right fights, and the fights he wanted, other people wouldn't accept. And we were sitting there with a beer going, motherfucker, Leon Edwards is going to headline Birmingham fighting on the Bellator by the end of 2021. That was just how it felt. Mm. And to be here now, to be able to eat those words and go, we were wrong, man. We were wrong. The UFC have finally done good by Leon Edwards. They've finally not only given him a 5-round co-main event under the Oliveira Chandler world lightweight title fight, the vacant title fight, which will get good eyeballs. You put Leon as co-main event, the first ever co-main event, five round non-title fight in UFC history, which says another thing, says the winner fights for the title next. That's what it says to me. Mm-hmm. The only reason it's five rounds is to go, boom, Nate Diaz, prove you can do five rounds. Leon, prove you can do the five rounds. Prove you deserve this title fight next. So it's a final eliminator for all intents and purposes as well. And it's Nate Diaz. It's Nate Diaz who is easy to hit, who is easy to outwork. Yes, he's got an incredible gas tank. Yes, his jiu-jitsu is absolutely legit. And yes, he's Nate Diaz, man. So you know you're going to have a whole world of bullshit to deal with around fight week. But if you can be like the way Leon often is, just fucking boom, tunnel Legend. Vision. All I do is fight. I don't do media. I don't do this. I don't do that. I'm just going to turn up and tear through this guy. If Leon can do that, and just look at Nate Diaz across the ring and just be like, you're just a body. You're just a figure. You're nobody. I think Leon Edwards can have that coming out party and can do a number on Nate Diaz. That's how good I think Leon is. And that's how good this opponent is. I think Stephen Wonderboy Thompson's a much harder opponent. I think Colby Covington is a much harder opponent. I think Nate Diaz is the layup you want in a final eliminator. Because what it is, it's the UFC going, right, Nate, beat the number three guy. We'll give you a title shot next. You're Nate Diaz. We don't want to fuck around with you. We'll pay you for a five-rounder. You win it, boom, you fight for the title next. You're Nate Diaz, your pay-per-view. And they're saying to Leon Edwards, this is what you've wanted. This is the name you've wanted. If you want to be a star, you've got to beat this guy. You've got to beat Nate Diaz. You've got to take his star power. You've got to become a pay-per-view star. And the only way we can do it is by putting you in with Nate Diaz, putting up with his bullshit, and getting in there and beating him well. I think as long as Leon beats him well, as long as Leon gets his arm raised and it's a unanimous victory, or even, dare I say it, even stopping Nate Diaz, then Christ almighty, 100,000,000% Leon Edwards gets the next title shot. Great fight for him. Couldn't be happier for him.
Next number?
One.
Number one. I knew you'd like this one. Paddy the Baddy signs for the UFC.
It's like that!
Mate, we said on last week's show, well, we knew about it on last week's show.
I've fucking done the interview 3 days before, that's why.
But given his performances in Cage Warriors, he's most certainly ready for the big time. He's ready for that step up. I'm delighted for him, man. Delighted for him. Watching your interview with him, he seems far more incredibly mature than the first time that we interviewed him here on Fight Disciples. His game's developed. He's developed as a human being, and he's going to have a lot of fun, man. He's going to have a lot of fun. In the UFC. It's going to be interesting to see who they're matching with first up. It'll be really interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating. And it's going to be interesting to see whether Paddy, you know, pushes back down to featherweight. And you see that a lot when you get into the UFC, that suddenly you realise that all these fucking wrestlers are killing themselves to get down to the weight division below. And I think Paddy looked like a massive lightweight in Cage Warriors, but he will look like a very normal-sized lightweight in the UFC. Whereas if he can get down to featherweight again, and I'm not sure he can, he's 26 now, but if he can get down to featherweight, I think he's a whole different problem. And you're right, man. It's all about timing, and his time is now, and he's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. He deserves it. He's grew up a lot over the last 18 months. He's a man now. He's ready, and it's going to be a good time.
2, 4, 5, or 6?
Number two.
Staying in Liverpool. Darren Till is out of the Vettori fight this week.
Devastated. Yeah, man. Devastated. Yeah, man. He done it in training. It was the final week of training. They were due to fly to Vegas on the Saturday, and it was the Tuesday. And the Monday or the Tuesday, and he got squashed under the body defending a takedown. And there was big things ahead, man. There was tough talk and everything, and it's frustrating, man, but it's a long road back now, because he needs that win before he faces Adesanya. He needs that win. And unfortunately, I think if Kevin Holland looks great this weekend, or even if Vittori looks great this weekend, they've got the ultimate opportunity now to call for that fight and to provide Adesanya either with the opportunity to write what a lot of people, you know, that split decision win over Vittori, or bounce in with Holland, who let's face it, pay-per-view already. So
he's coming off the back of a loss, though, is Holland, though, isn't he, against Brunson, man? He got dominated against Brunson.
Means fuck all, though. But Brunson isn't going to get a fight with Adesanya because Adesanya dealt with Brunson.
Yeah.
I think if you can bounce back and look sensational against Vittori and rock the mic that we know Holland can, then I think Adesanya right now gets the hand pick as next opponent.
Mm.
And I think he could choose Kevin Holland. But I'm gutted for Till. He was absolutely devastated. And I broke both my collarbones when I was a kid. And I think it took a couple of months. I was in a sling for about 2 or 3 weeks, and then it wasn't a long period. I've seen people going, that's him out for 12 months. He fucking definitely won't be. He'll probably fight before the end of the year. It's more the timing, the opportunity. It was there, wasn't it? You know, we know, I know, if he beats Vittori, he fights Adesanya, and there was a bloody good chance that Adesanya Till were going to be the tough coaches, which now, not surprisingly, in the aftermath of Till getting injured, we're now seeing that Ortega versus Volkanovski are going to be tough coaches instead.
Well, you've moved
your numbers.
You've moved me on to number four quite nicely. That was very good. Yes, Volkanovski versus Ortega are the tough coaches. A fight that was due, obviously, last week. Volkanovski got COVID. It was interesting to read his update on his social media about COVID and obviously dealing with it. Said that it knocked him for six, but he's all clear now and feeling far much better. And he'll start the process of getting himself back up to some type of fighting fitness ahead of obviously this tough season, which is due to start filming in the summer, and then the culmination of that tough series will be those boys going at it for the featherweight crown. It's a fight that we all want to see. Volkanovski and Ortega is the fight at the top level of featherweight for now, before Max Holloway comes back. I'm not going to do your boy right now. He's had two cracks at Volkanovski. He's come up short on two occasions, but he will be back after a fantastic performance earlier on this year against Calvin Kattar. I'm going to be honest. I've spent time with Volkanovski. Phenomenal personality, bags of crack, good fun. He's an Aussie rugby league player, for crying out loud, man. You know what I mean? He's got the banter. Brian Ortega, yeah. I don't know too much about him. I've not been in his company too much. I don't know too much about his personality. He seems a very relaxed, chilled out, you know what I mean, type of dude. Does that make for great television when you compare it to the possibility of Israel Adesanya and Darren Till? Tough coaches would have been different level television, and it would have been exactly what the launch of that television program needs. Does Volkanovski and Ortega do it? I can vouch for Volkanovski. He's got the personality to be able to carry something like that. He's a very likable Australian. Where's Ortega? I don't know where his personality is at and whether it transcends too tough. We will find out in due course. What I do know is that the fight's fucking good. The fight between them is really good. Do they have the personalities to carry a TV show? We'll find out.
Yeah, exactly right. I've liked Ortega. I've interviewed him a couple of times. He's a nice lad, but it ain't Adesanya Till, baby.
Mm. Number five and number six, which one do you want first?
Oh, is one of them John Jones and is the other one Dustin Poirier?
Right, go on then. You've done it then. We'll do it in that order. Number five, John Jones, Francis Ngannou. On, off, Derek Lewis thrown in that mix as well. Jonesy wants...
Pay him!
He wants 10 million... Well, 10 million's too low. You started to... Yeah. Bear in mind, nobody's been given a base rate of 10 million quid in the year. Not even Connor gets a base of 10 million. The disclosed for Connor's around 3, 4 million with him racking up those pay-per-view points, taking him into the 20s and 30 million every time he single fights, right? Jones has never been there. Now, of course, he deserves paying. I want him to be paid. Because if the financials get in the way of this fight, it would be an absolute travesty for the UFC. This is the fight. Nobody's interested in any other fight in the heavyweight division. Let's be honest with ourselves. Do you want to see Ngannou and Derek Lewis going at it again? No. Derek, I love Derek. His balls are on fire. Love it. Can't get enough of him. Do I want to see him going in there again with Francis Ngannou? No, I don't, man. Don't scupper this. We're here now. Francis Ngannou. He is the big superstar of this division. The story's mint. He's got to the top of the tree. He's got the gold wrapped around his waist. You've got a guy stepping up from light heavyweight, the greatest of all time in many people's eyes. That's the fight to make. Let's not wait. Let's not procrastinate. Let's not try and call each other's bluff and have a Mexican standoff. Find it. Go down the back of the bloody sofa if you've got to find it, man. It's not like you ain't got it. Go and get it and go and stick it in his bloody pocket. Here's a little stat for you, right? Do you remember when they moved that card that John Jones was on because he couldn't get a license in Nevada and they stuck it in California? Do you know how much that cost them?
Go on.
It cost the UFC $6 million. So they were prepared to pay $6 million to upsticks the whole card on what were it, a week's notice, less than a week's notice. They upsticks. They moved it over to California because they saw the financial value of having John Jones fight in the UFC at that particular point. So there you go. There's your starting point, $6 million. If they can afford to spunk $6 million on upping a card and sticking it in a different state, that's there. There's money there to go because that's the value that they've put already on John Jones fighting. And that is on top of what he would normally get paid. So if his normal pay is what? $1 million, let's say? Maybe a bit less, whatever it is. So that's his starting point. That's where he should be starting his negotiations for his base rate. For me, find the dough. This does numbers. It does big numbers. It transcends the sport. It sends the UFC to the next level. We're talking about, you don't even have to speculate to accumulate, man, really, because it's a guarantee it's going to make dough. Spend the money. Put it in his back pocket. Say, John, just make the walk, son. Turn up, don't get popped. That's all you've got to say. That's all you've got to say to him. Turn up and don't get popped. That's all we want you to do. And the money's yours. Simple.
Yeah. Don't forget as well, the reported payout that we see around the pay-per-view events. Certainly
it's
Vegas,
all bullshit, yeah.
They're not real numbers. Like Connor earns north of $20 million every time he fights. And John Jones probably earns around $10 million every time he fights, or $5 million. So him saying 50 million was obviously outlandish. But what he's talking about is, this is the heavyweight division now. This is the baddest man on the planet. This is the biggest pot. This is, you know, this is MMA's version of AJ versus Fury. And well, those headlines keep saying 100 million.
Yeah, he made the comparison, didn't he, to Fury Wilder in the week. He said, is this bigger than Fury Wilder? Now, just move the money to one side for Fury Wilder, because I'll give you those stats in a minute. Pay-per-view-wise in America, Fury Wilder did 850,000 buys, right? That's what it did. Ngannou Jones does more than that. That's where I'll start. It does more than 850,000 buys.
Yeah, I would have thought so. I would have thought so, absolutely.
Regarding the finances of it, there's loads of different reports as to what people were paid for the Fury Wilder fight. I am reliably informed that there was no pay-per-view upside to this. They came to a conclusion that they both men were taking a $25 million flat fee, so $25 million each, and then they had to break $1.2 million when it came to the pay-per-view buys in order to get some type of upside. They obviously didn't break that, so therefore there was no upside to the payment. They both walked away with $25 million. Good dollars. I was originally told that it was $5 million flat each, with the pay-per-view points taking them up to $25 million, but it was $25 million straight. All right. Now, if you got John Jones and say, all right, you don't get any pay-per-view points, but I'll give you 25 million quid. Fucking sound, man. You'll make it back. You'll make the money back. Make the fight.
Yep. Absolutely. Listen, man, you know I'm all in on fucking John Jones. I'm in. Pay him whatever he wants. If the guy wants 50 million, pay him 50 million.
Whoa. You're going to get it. You've got 50. You've got double. Look, it ain't my money. I don't give a shit. Just pay him.
So the biggest pay-per-view John Jones has ever had was the Cormier rematch. The second Cormier fight did 860,000 buys.
Right, okay.
Now, if that's $100 a fight in the US, $100 a buy rate, what's that, 86 million?
Yeah,
so it's made 86 million in just in pay-per-view. And that, as you say, this fight will do, I think it will do 1 million buys. I think
maybe more.
It will do north of 1 million buys in Ngannou. It's the heavyweight title fight. Everyone's high on Ngannou at the moment. They'll fall into these lovely roles as hero and heel. Like, there's so much the UFC can do to sell this fight. Truly is the baddest man on the planet. They both look like superstars. They've both got incredible record. Everything you'd want in a heavyweight title fight. They can sell it as well. They're good with media. You know, this is not a Stipe situation. This is two guys that are good with media. Yeah. Jones knows how to handle a media, knows how to sell a fight. Ngannou's backstory sells the fight for him. He's this freakish puncher. I think the comparison with Fury and Wilder is a brilliant one from John Jones. And yeah. I understand where he's getting his numbers from. And but the UFC, the problem is, you see, once you start putting everybody on Conor money, you know what I mean, then that's when problems arise. But there is only one Conor McGregor. But I would argue there is only one John Jones. He is the GOAT. He's the greatest champion the UFC has ever had.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. In your
opinion. He deserves to be paid as
in
such.
In your opinion.
I'm right, though.
You're not right. GSP is.
Fucking get out of town.
Number six, you know what it is, mate. July the 10th. Book them flights, baby. Book them flights. In fact, everybody listening to this right now, book them flights. Boris has said there's a corridor coming. Get in the corridor. Get in the corridor and start swimming. Even if you've got to swim the Atlantic, you've got to get your ass there. Because July the 10th is shaping up nice. Not only have they put a fight on there that I'm super excited about between Stephen Wonderboy Thompson and Gilbert Burns, the top of the cheek, the cherry on top of the cake is number three. Now, anybody throwing shade at Dustin Poirier saying that the man chased money rather than legacy needs their head red. Those belts ain't paying anybody's bills anytime soon. You know what I mean? This is red panty night, man. Sometimes some fighters are the belt. Conor McGregor is the belt. If on his retirement bed, Dustin Poirier is never the UFC champion, if he's never the UFC champion ever in his lifetime, but he can sit there on his rocking chair on his veranda and he says to his grandkids, have you heard of Conor McGregor? Yeah. Beating him twice. Get out of it. There you go. That's the story, man. That is the story.
What do you think paid for that super yacht? What do you think paid for fucking the expansion Louisiana of 10,000 fucking acres? That's what Conor McGregor paid for, baby. Listen, I've got absolutely no issue with the fight whatsoever. I commend Dustin Poirier. I think he's made the correct decision. Yeah. For every reason, boom, bigger paycheck. Boom, the title fight's waiting for you as long as you come through with a victory. Boom, you've just beat Conor McGregor. You've kind of got his number. Don't let him get better. Don't let him get fitter. Don't let him get back into MMA mindset. Get him now while you've got him. It ticks every box.
Mm-hmm.
What I have got issue with was Dustin Poirier coming out this week and labeling Charles Oliveira versus Michael Chandler as fool's gold. I thought that was a shitty move by Dustin. And we love Dustin Poirier. We are big
fans. Why do you think that was shitty?
Because I think it was a shitty move to do. Because why do you have to be salty? Why pour salt on a title fight? You could have fought Oliveira for the belt, or you could have fought Michael Chandler for the belt. You have made a financial decision, Mr. Poirier, to not fight for the belt. So the belt doesn't just sit on, oh, Dustin doesn't want to fight you guys for the belt. He wants to go and make a fortune with Conor. So what we're going to do is we'll put the belt on the shelf then because Dustin doesn't want to fight. No. Take away the money for a second. Dustin Poirier turned down a UFC title fight. The UFC can't wait for him. The rest of the division shouldn't wait for him. So the two best guys in line behind him, I agree with the UFC, Charles Oliveira and Michael Chandler are fighting for the vacant title belt that Dustin Poirier refused to fight for. That is not a fool's gold belt. That is a legit world title fight. You don't want it. Listen, Dustin Poirier does not want this smoke. I understand why he doesn't want the smoke. Because he wants the money.
Look at
but for
you.
Him to turn around and go, fool's gold. Nah, Dustin, you don't get to do that, my friend. You don't get to call it fool's gold. You've chose the money. You've gone after the money. You've rejected the gold. So you then can't pour salt on it. So I'm disappointed with Dustin there because...
I'm not.
He's better than that.
Listen, I love it. I love all that, man. Listen, he's chasing dollar. I'm all for that. And as I said, Conor McGregor is the biggest fight in the division for him right at this moment in time. The majority of fans, right? Given the body of work that Dustin Poirier has got, if you were to ask him now, Khabib's retired, he's gone, he's chilling, right? Yeah. Who's the best at 155 right now? Forget who's the best, right? The majority say Dustin, yeah? Dustin believes that as well. So therefore, he knows that if you're going to be the guy at 155, you got to beat him. You've got to beat Dustin Poirier. Dustin Poirier is just taking care of his family right now. He's just out there making some coin with Conor McGregor. It comes through it. It is fool's gold because you've got to go through Dustin Poirier in the eyes of the fans.
He's not the champion, though.
No, well, he is. Is he, mate, he's the uncrowned champ. That's where he's at right now.
Is he, though?
For the majority of fans, whoever wins...
He's the number one ranked fighter. He's the number one lightweight in the world.
He's the number one. So whoever wins in Oliveira Chandler, whoever wins, yes, they'll get a belt wrapped around the waist and they'll be classed as the UFC champion. But I guarantee the immediate rhetoric after that fight will be, well, yeah, but you've got to beat Poirier to be the number, to be the guy. You have to beat Poirier. What are you shaking your face at?
I just don't understand how you can say that, because you've got a guy there fighting for the title that hasn't lost a fight since 2017.
Yeah.
A guy that never got the opportunity to fight Khabib. Maybe Charles Oliveira was the guy to beat Khabib.
Maybe.
We started the year, yourself and Dan, going, this is the form guy in a division. If Khabib walks away, Charles Oliveira will end the year as UFC champion. None of us said Dustin. None of us said Connor. None of us said Gaethje. None of us said Chandler. We all said Charles Oliveira will end the year as UFC champion.
Correct, yeah.
So Dustin Poirier beat a returning Conor McGregor without a win at lightweight under his belt in 5 years. And now we're going to change the rhetoric? No. I ain't changing my rhetoric. I still believe right now Dustin Poirier is the number one ranked guy.
Yeah.
But I believe that Charles Oliveira is the uncrowned champion.
Yeah, but you're not listening to what I'm saying, mate. You're not listening to what I'm saying. I'm saying with the majority of fans will look at Poirier as the uncrowned champ. And they will
because
go, listen.
Because he beat Conor. Of the fan base of Conor. Two fights before Conor, he got absolutely smoked by Khabib on Fight Island.
Right, yeah, but that was the first time in what? God knows how many fights. And he's been through Gaethje. He's been through Dan Hooker. He's been through these guys, yeah? Come on. They've got to go through Poirier. They've got to go through Conor, because it's not a given that Poirier is going to beat Conor in this third fight.
You're absolutely right. Listen, whoever wins the belt in Texas on May the 15th will be ringside in Vegas on July the 10th.
Yes.
We'll get in the octagon. We'll square off against the winner, because that will then prove, for now, who is the best 155-pounder on the planet. If Oliveira, Chandler, when the winner comes out of that, there's still a question to be answered. I agree. Mm-hmm. But that's not to say whoever comes out of that Houston octagon is not a worthy champion, because they are. Because you can only beat the man who's prepared to stand in front of you. And Dustin Poirier was not prepared to turn down an opportunity to become the champion.
That's just
all I'm going to say.
All right.
That's all I'm going to say. Would Chandler have turned down this fight to fight Conor? I bet he wouldn't.
I agree with that. I think
the belt.
We've only spent, 4 or 5 months in the presence of Michael Chandler recently. He seems to be all about legacy.
Yeah.
Listen, we don't know until the question's been put in front of somebody's face, but I would guess that Chandler would choose gold over money. That's what I think he would do. Wonderboy versus Gilbert Burns, man. Come on. You know how high I am.
You're a Wonderboy fanboy, you, man.
I am, mate. I just want to hang out with him all the time. He's just such a cool guy, isn't he? And he's a brilliant, brilliant fighter. But Gilbert Burns, again, another guy that we've fallen for over the last year. I think he's been absolutely sensational. We saw his heartbreak and devastation in losing that world title fight against Kamaru Usman. It's a great fight. It's a wonderful, wonderful fight. And what a wonderful co-main to that main event that we've just been speaking about. Sensational stuff. There's me six, I think. Have I ticked them
that's
all
it.
Off?
Yeah, that's them all, yeah. Yeah, that's all six.
I've written something else down.
It's all there, six.
No. It's all there, mate. Absolutely. Nailed it with a big six. We've done all right.
We're going to have a quick look at this weekend's card before we sign off.
Well, that's what we do, mate. We do reviews and previews. It's just a bit confusing this week because there's not been too much UFC to get stuck in. Yeah, exactly. So much news. This weekend, as you know, on short notice, Kevin Holland is stepping in. You kind of touched upon all this before, but I just want to just quickly go over it, seeing as that we're in the preview section of the show. He's taking on Vittori. Vittori's been brilliant recently. His performance against Hermanson, I thought, was top class. He has been in with Adesanya before. Split decision loss, all right? Adesanya's saying, I only want to fight Till. That's what this was supposed to be. Till's coming out party, beat Vettori, get the fight with Adesanya. That's not going to be the case this weekend. Holland's coming off the back of a loss to Brunson. If Holland wins, is he ahead of Till for a world title shot?
It could well be, because he could rock the microphone. And that's a very important factor. And he's never fought Adesanya. So that's a very important factor as well. So yeah, I think Till, as much as he was devastated about the injury, he's more devastated about the opportunity. The opportunity missed, because not only does he fall out of the pecking order to fight Adesanya next, but he actually falls behind the winner of this fight as well. He's a hard sell Till now. If one of these guys comes through in spectacular fashion, it's hard to sell Till as a legit opponent for the title when both of these guys have got a stronger case by getting a victory here this weekend.
It's going to be interesting to see what Izzy does and how he responds on social media to either Vettori or Holland winning. I'm personally backing Vettori to come through this fight. I think he's a bit more rounded than Kevin Holland. We know what Kevin Holland's all about, and I don't think in 2 weeks he's learnt those the wrestling needed in order to stop Vettori doing what Vettori does. If Vettori can make Jack O'Manson, I'm going to say, look average. He didn't make him look average. It was a very competitive fight. It was a good fight. But Vettori was the man that came through and got the business done. If he can do that to Jack O'Manson, who I rate very, very highly, I think he can do it against Kevin Holland as well.
Yeah, I think if Kevin Holland hadn't just lost in the manner he did to Brunson, I'd be a lot higher on Kevin Holland, obviously.
Yeah.
And I'd really fancy him. But there's a blueprint now.
Yeah.
Not only is there a blueprint, it's a blueprint that worked 2 weeks ago. So yeah, Nothing's changed. He hasn't technically changed his game or gotten better anywhere. All Vettori has to do, watch the Brunson performance.
Grab him.
Replicate it. Yeah. And he's more than capable of replicating that performance as well. So
yeah, I agree. Fight of the night for me, I'm going with Arnold Allen, Sadiq Youssef.
Yes.
You know what I'm at with this. Obviously, Sadiq is a guy that I picked out a couple of years ago as one of my ones to watch. Arnold Allen is one of those guys that's just ticked. He's bubbled along, hasn't he? He's been one of those guys where we spoke about all the other British fighters, spoke about everybody else, but Arnold Allen's been going about his business. He's been doing it very, very well. And when you watch him fight, he's technically brilliant, technically perfect to watch. Yeah, all right. He doesn't get on the microphone. He doesn't capture your imagination with stellar interviews or anything like that. But he's an interesting dude. He's an interesting character. And he's a bloody good fighter. Sadiq Youssef is a good fighter as well. I can't see this being shit. It might be a bit of a chess match early. But at some point it's going to catch fire. I think it'll be a great fight and a great co-main and a wonderful opportunity for Arnold to announce himself.
It's a brilliant opportunity for him, you know, and he'll finally get that top 10 ranking that he absolutely deserves with a victory here. And, you know, I was talking about him. I think he is 10, but, you know, he could move up the rankings, I mean. And the thing with Arnold is, unlike Kevin Holland, unlike Darren Till, he's a lot more like Leon. He's going to have to do it the hard way. Mm-hmm. He's going to have to win. He's going to have to beat five of the guys in the top 10 to get a title fight. He can't shortcut it because he's not got that personality. And he's a cool guy, Arnold. I fucking love spending time with him. He's a good lad. He's a proper student of the game. And he's undervalued because he looks like a boy, but fuck me, he's got the strength of a man. And he's absolutely brilliant everywhere. And I think this could be a coming out party again, but we always say that about Arnold Allen. It's a coming out party, but I think he's been in the UFC since 2015. This is like his seventh fight. He's just not busy enough. And if you're not tearing through three opponents a year, if you're fighting once a year, and while your performance has got... The problem with the UFC is you can be amazing 1 week. You can get a fucking knockout or submission of the year, contender, and everyone's high on you. But guess what? The next week, there's another UFC event.
Yeah, exactly.
The week after that, there's a UFC pay-per-view. And the week after that, there's another UFC event. And it's not like boxing where it's like, you know, third rate champions and all this. The UFC is what it is. It's the best of the best. So you are literally yesterday's chip paper the day after you're sensational. So you've then got an obligation to keep promoting yourself through media, through social media, through like getting on TV, radio, you know, everything, promoting yourself. And Arnold, like Leon, isn't that guy. So it's always going to take so much longer to finally get there. If you can't stay busy and you can't sell yourself, you don't hide into nothing. So he's got so much ability, Arnold Allen. He just needs that. He needs this big performance. He needs to rock the mic. He almost needs to be one of those guys that says, I'm staying in Vegas now, Dana. I'm staying here. I'm staying in the US. You know, I'm happy to go over to Jacksonville. I want to be a reserve for any of these featherweights. Put me in with anyone. Might be what he needs to do.
After such a long time out of the octagon, Nina Rantzaroff is back this weekend. She's obviously given birth. She takes on Mackenzie Dern. It's going to be a tough one, this. Mackenzie's been brilliant recently, hasn't she? You know what I mean? So it's going to be a hell of a fight, that, between her and Nina Rantzaroff. And Mike Perry's on the main card as well, taking on Daniel Rodriguez. Another stellar fight, which could be absolute flames. And as I said right at the start of the show, fingers crossed, Mike Perry will feature on our YouTube channel at some point this week. Fingers crossed we can get hold of him, get him on the show, and I'll have a little bit of a chinwag with Platinum Mike Perry. What else is standing out for you on the card?
The one, the only, the undefeated, the Tank, Jack Shaw, Wales's finest. The kid has got so much ability. I think he's 13-0 now. He's on the prelims. He's taken on Hunter Azure. Azure's only got one loss in his entire career. That was in the UFC a couple of fights ago. Completely legit fights out of Arizona. Again, I think he's got a couple of years on Jack, but he's a bit of a veteran of the game. I think he lost to Brian Kelleher. No shame in that whatsoever. Kelleher is similar to Jack, a rising superstar. So this is a real opportunity for Jack Shaw to once again get a big win on a big card. I think he's the future, man. I think if anyone's going to bring the UFC to Wales one day in the future, it's going to be Jack Shaw, man. And I love watching him fight. I always love watching him in Cage Warriors, and he's just busy working his way in the UFC now. I think this is his second fight in the UFC. He's a superstar. He had a Fight Island fight cancelled, but he's back now out in Vegas. And yeah, man, he's got so much ability, and he's a motherfucking fight finisher, bitch. And that's what I love, but especially when it comes to British fighters. So yeah, Jack the Tank, man. Woohoo! Can't wait.
There you go. And we've also got some Bellator as well. You mentioned it earlier on. If you want to get stuck into a bit of Bellator, of course, the BBC iPlayer is the place for you. The light heavyweight Grand Prix gets underway this weekend. So you've got a lot of UFC to get stuck into. You've got some retro legends as well taking part in the light heavyweight tournament. Which, listen, it's going to be good. It's going to be fun. You know what I mean? There's going to be finishes in that light heavyweight tournament. It's going to be interesting to see how the old boys do against some of the new, fresher talent. Anyway, that's all your MMA that I'd recommend this weekend. Some good stuff for you to get stuck into. Thank you very much for listening to us. It's been an absolute pleasure once again. You can get us on iTunes. Fight Disciples is what you're looking for. FightDisciples.com is the website. Go and get stuck in. We're all over social media as well. Boris has started talking about restrictions being lifted. He's giving it the thumbs up for look at us. We hate Boris, but then all of a sudden when he starts letting us go to fights again, we fucking love Boris. Go on, lad. Go on, son. So
get me vaccinated and get me on a flight to Vegas.
So in the not too distant future, we hope to be back in your company in the arenas, chatting once again over a beer and waxing lyrical about the fights. But in the meantime, you'll just have to put up with us talking nonsense on our podcast. Thank you very much for listening to us. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for listening. If you like what you heard, subscribe via iTunes.